Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. So glad to have you tuned in today. Looking forward to conversation today on a timely topic, and hopefully the end of our time together you'll be encouraged, challenged, and also maybe make some changes in lifestyle and experience a bit more rest and joy in the process. Our guest today was a emergency room doctor and changed life rather dramatically, and we'll hear a bit about his story. Just want to mention, too, we're glad to have you listening wherever you're listening. If you're new to our Faith Radio audience, glad to have you tuned in. You always find out more about us online at myfaithradio.com. And a special welcome, Ted, to listeners in Hartford, our new Faith 1290. Just been on the air for a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're excited about that. God's really blessing us with expanding our ministry and getting into some different markets in Hartford. Welcome. Good to have you.
And wherever you are around the globe, even if you're in, say, someplace like Lexington, Kentucky, you can listen online on the Faith Radio app.
That's right. Free at in your mobile device. Yeah. Check out iTunes or Google Play. Search for Faith Radio Network. We're there.
It's a beautiful spring day in Lexington, Kentucky. Spring in Kentucky is always a wonderful season, and that's where we're connecting up with Matthew Sleeth today. Dr. Matthew Sleeth is Executive Director of Blessed Earth. Founded in 2008 as an educational nonprofit that inspires and equips Christians to become better stewards of the earth. Written several books, Serving God, Saving the Planet, 24-6, A Prescription to a Healthier, Happier Life. Back in a couple of years ago, Blessed Earth launched the Seminary Stewardship Alliance, which now has more than 40 member schools. And Newsweek and Christianity Today have listed the Sleeths among the top 50 Christian leaders in America. And we're connecting with Matthew after a couple of years, so it's been since we've talked. He's updated his book, Serving God, Saving the Planet. Subtitle is A Call to Care for Creation and Your Soul. Matthew, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
It's great to be back with you.
I want to talk a little bit about your change in life. You are really kind of living the American dream as a medical chief of staff. And then you decided to kind of pursue simplicity, and there was a spiritual journey in there as well. Maybe just to kind of summarize where God brought you from where you were to where you are now.
Sure. I was living on the coast of Maine with my wife and two children. I was emergency room doctor, director of that department, our hospital, and no one in our family believed in God. My wife had been raised in a Jewish home, and we had never had any kind of faith foundation, really. She was more of a cultural Jew. And a number of things happened in our life, the most important being that I picked up a Bible one day and read it for the first time and encountered Christ.
Well, you actually stole the Bible, right?
If you must tell, yes, I didn't own that Bible, and I wanted to read it, and so I simply took it.
well, I just think it kind of adds to the story that, you know, God works in wonderful ways.
Yeah. He does. I'm convinced that in heaven they were yelling, "Just take it, take it." You know? and I took that, and I encountered Christ, and that has changed everything for not only me, but my wife and my children, the whole path of our life. And we realized that we had been living simply for ourselves. And since that time, the Bible has been the instruction book for me and my family as we make decisions. In the Bible, we found a Savior who didn't even own a horse or a car, would have been the equivalent then, didn't have a home. It's not that we aren't supposed to have things, but God is always supposed to come first. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness, and everything else will follow. And so we begin to simplify a lot of things in our life and to always be moving God up the level of our concerns.
Out of that has come a great teaching and speaking ministry and writing, and the book we're referencing today is called Serving God, Saving the Planet, A Call to Care for Creation and Your Soul. We do have a couple of copies that we're going to give away here at the end of the hour, and I want to encourage you to just give us a call to sign up for that drawing. Whenever we have some resources, we give those away at the end of the show. And this is a wonderful read, and it will encourage you, and you want to pass it on to others as well. 877-933-2484 is the phone number, 877-93-FAITH. I'm wondering, Matthew, if we really realize how much work the consumer lifestyle demands of us. Maybe say more about kind of what you saw, I guess, in the emergency room and in general, that, you know, we pay a price emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Yes, I think that I was living American dream, which before I met Christ, which is live in the best house, in the best neighborhood, send your kids to the best school, choose your friends, you know, that are all the same as you. That's not a model in Scripture. Jesus hung out with everybody, and the most important thing was sharing the good news. And when we focus our lives just on the things we're buying and the experiences that we're consuming, God takes a back seat. And so our family began to simplify. We moved from our house to one that was exactly the size of our garage. I don't want any of your listeners to feel sorry for us because they haven't seen a doctor's garage if they're feeling, sorry for us. But we began to do some things that aren't necessarily things that everybody has to do, but like hanging the clothes on the line. Well, that saves money and all that sort of thing, but it's really good for teaching young people in a family, you know, how to work along with us. Now, my children are grown and married, but it was a very valuable thing for them to do. And everything is about the focus of God coming first and a deep appreciation for the blessings that we do have. It's not that per se any blessing is bad, but entitlement, especially towards God, is not a good attitude to have. And I think if people kind of slow down their life and their consuming, sometimes God has a place to move in there. One of the things that I mentioned in the book is if you think you need something or want something, wait 30 days. Now, if it's not something, you know, that's absolutely necessary to life, like food or something, most of the time you'll find you didn't need it as much as you think, or, it's just there's some techniques for slowing down.
Were you motivated to a simpler life? Or I guess maybe I'll put it this way. Was the motivation to live a simpler life, or was there kind of the environmental creation care side of it? Was that what sort of drove you to make some of these changes? Or did you, as you got into that, did you realize, oh, yeah, so I can live simply and I don't use as much resources?
Absolutely. I mean, I was motivated by concern about the environment. The earth is the Lord's, and everything on the planet belongs to God, and we are given this awesome responsibility of being stewards of the planet and of everything that, you know, comes into our ownership, that sort of thing. So I certainly wanted to be a better steward. And along the way, we found out that simplicity is really a part of that. we as Americans have spent so much time in front of screens, so much time shopping, that sort of thing. And when we began to edit some of that out, we had more time for serving God, for serving our fellow humans, that sort of thing. So it was a growth experience, somewhat started about concern about being good stewards, but then learning that the benefit of simplicity is more time for people, more time for God.
Talking today with Matthew Sleeth. Dr. Matthew Sleeth is executive director of Blessed Earth. It was founded back about 6-7 years ago as an educational nonprofit that inspires and equips Christians to become better stewards of the earth. And the book we're referencing today is called Serving God, Saving the Planet, A Call to Care for Creation and Your Soul. And we've got a couple of copies to give away. And we'll do that here at the end of the hour. And you can sign up for a drawing at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. You may have some questions just about how to make an impact in today's concerns about our environment. You know, public policy focuses a lot on big issues, so do our small attempts really make a difference? We'll get Matthew's perspective on that as well. And is this something that we can do with joy, or is it about duty? And, you know, we'll get to some practical things as well. He mentioned drying clothes on the line. Say, is that something we should pursue? Are there some other options, ways that we can save the planet and serve God at the same time? A Call to Care for Creation and Your Souls. Our conversation today, we welcome you to join in at 877-93-FAITH. More in just a moment. Should never forget that. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. This is my Father's world. Talking about serving God and saving the planet, a call to care for creation and your soul is the title of a book written by Matthew Sleeth. Dr. Sleeth was a ER doctor and chief of staff at a New England hospital. When his wife Nancy asked him a life-changing question, what's the biggest problem facing the world today? And his reply was, the earth is dying. And her second question was harder to answer. If the earth is dying, what are we going to do about it? And that led to a pretty dramatic change in life. They downsized. And, in fact, you've done a number of things. I'm interested, Matthew, of all the maybe lifestyle changes you made or implemented, was there one or two that were maybe the hardest adjustment or took the longest time?
Well, my daughter used to say that the hardest thing was that everyone in school, in high school or whatever, asked, what does your parents do? And that it used to be very easy for her to say, my dad's an ER doctor. Everyone understood that. And when I stopped doing that and went into ministry, she didn't have a quick and easy answer. And in fact, that was hard for me because my identity had been solely derived from my work, which was good work. I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking care of people when they're ill, but to switch over and have an identity of I'm a child of God was one of the difficult things. One of the changes that we made that has been very, very enduring because, you know, technologies are going to change. What kind of automobiles we drive is going to change. How we dry the clothes is going to change. But by bringing a Sabbath, one day of rest out of every seven into our lives, that was not the easiest change to make, but it's the most enduring, and I know that will last the rest of my life and my children's life. That is the one thing that won't change. So that was initially difficult, but has become the thing that gives back the most to us.
Let's talk about, you know, public policy, I guess, when it comes to environmental care. You know, public policy tends to focus on the macro issues. So, you know, I think we sometimes wonder, do our small adjustments really make that much difference? So what would be your challenge to us as maybe individuals and families to live with a stewardship mindset?
Well, I think that that we're told that if we are faithful in small things, God will give us larger things. And I think that when we are faithful stewards of the resources that God has given us, and we really make a plan of how to begin by tithing and then give more as we are able, and we're not just spending on ourselves, that the Lord tends to give more and more. We live in a democracy, and I'm very, very thankful that the Central Committee did decide today, you know, what color we all have to wear or something. And so we live in a system where we are responsible as citizens and patriots to cast our vote for things as we see right through the lens of our faith and our ethics. So I think we have a responsibility to make our voices known on public policy. I'm very, very glad that many things have changed as far as the environment goes. In my lifetime, we were going to lose the symbol of America, the bald eagle. When I was a kid, they were almost extinct. And through regulations now, every child has a chance to grow up and see a bald eagle. We had rivers catching on fire. Literally, when I was a child, the Cayuga River caught on fire. I'm glad that now we can fish and eat the fish out of many rivers in the United States. So as we think about public policy, I think it's a good idea not just to focus on gloom and doom, but some of the great successes, that have come about in my lifetime.
But it does, I guess you talk about gloom and doom, I guess it would say, you know, if we identify, I guess, the modern environmental movement, it seems determined to present the worst-case scenarios always. So that pessimism kind of sort of stands in against confidence in God's sovereignty too, doesn't it?
It does. There's a line to tread there. We don't want to be Pollyannish. Richard Nixon hadn't signed into law the Clean Air and the Clean Water Act, we wouldn't be able to eat any of the fish, you know, in this country. Everything can be taken to an excess. I think when we do realize how small we are and the forces that are, seem to be sometimes unstoppable in the world, that ultimately God is in control. That God is sovereign, and that can be a great comfort as we work on issues that sometimes can be overwhelming.
You were obviously a medical doctor trained in that, worked in the front lines in the emergency work there. Did you see maybe direct environmental connections to some of the diseases and ailments that we're enduring across the globe today?
You know, I talked about having three women come through the emergency department in a week's time, and all three were in their 30s, and all three had breast cancer, and all three of them have died from that. And I said, you know, what are the odds? And I went and looked it up, and I saw a great increase in that rate. It's interesting, as a side note, number of years ago, a U.S. senator called me up and said, can you come and talk to my Senate committee about this? And when he introduced me, he said, I'm not sure that I believe that statistic, but the great thing about being a U.S. senator is the Library of Congress works for you. All of his facts are straight. We don't live in abstraction of the food we eat or the air we breathe, that sort of thing. And we have a lot of artificial things we put into our body. And with my suggestion that we perhaps limit some of those as a way to be healthier and avoid some of the cancer. There's already trends since this book, Serve God, Save the Planet, was written over 10 years ago. It's remained the bestseller for this What Do Christians, Bible-based people do about the environment. But even in that time, some of the trends are positive, that people are eating better, simpler, healthier, and having fewer diseases as a result of it. So there's definitely a connection between our lifestyle and our health. It's not one-to-one or anything, but I think it's prudent that we take care of our health and be in the best shape that we can to serve the Lord for as long as the Lord will use us.
You know, you just talk about Bible-based and thinking, you know, if we really let the Bible inform our lifestyle choices, how we live, I guess, are there some key principles that we could just review that, you know, how we should be caring for creation? What would that look like?
Well, we were, to go to the theology of it, Adam and Eve were put on this planet, and the instructions in Genesis 2:15 were to dress and keep the garden. That's the King James version of it, and I love that because they were poets, and they realized that as Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they were going to do was go and undress the garden, tear a leaf off and to cover their shame, that sort of thing. So the Scripture has many, many things that tell us not to cut to the edge of the field, meaning don't try to get every ounce of food that you can out of a field. Leave some for poor people, leave some for animals, that sort of thing. It tells us not to beat the olive tree twice. It tells us not to muddy the water with our cattle as we're grazing. So there are many of these kinds of instructions. But ultimately, Christ comes along, and ultimately, it's not you or I that saved this planet, it's Christ. And Christ dies and is resurrected. When Mary turns and sees him, she believes that it's the gardener. That's actually not a mistake. There are no mistakes in Scripture. Christ has come back as the new Adam, and unlike the first Adam, he actually is able to tend and keep, to dress and keep the garden. So theologically, we are told from one end of Scripture to the other to take care of the planet. Does that mean that the planet is going to stay in the condition we leave it or whatever? No, I'm going to get a new body. The planet's going to be renewed at some point. But we are told to be faithful in this. And that works in some kind of an economy that we can't even see on this planet, in a heavenly economy.
Let me jump in, and we'll pick it up on the other side of our break, learning more about caring for creation and our souls. The book we're referencing is called Serving God, Saving the Planet. And we've got a couple of copies available at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, talking to Matthew Sleeth. Matthew Sleeth is Executive Director of Blessed Earth. You can find out more about that, blessedearth.org. And we'll continue our conversation here in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
This Friday is the 47th anniversary of Earth Day. And we don't want to wait. We want to talk about caring for creation and your soul. That's the subtitle of the book, Serving God, Saving the Planet. We're trying to find songs by Green. You know, it's not easy being green, but that didn't really apply unless we're talking with the Muppets. But we're not. No, we're talking to Matthew Sleeth. Matthew was an ER. He was a doctor heading up a medical department at a large hospital, living the American dream until he saw an increasing number of his patients suffering diseases and began to suspect maybe the earth and its inhabitants weren't doing as well as we had hoped. And so out of that has come a pretty significant change. And he and his wife, Nancy, founded Blessed Earth back in 2008 as an educational nonprofit that inspires and equips Christians to become better stewards of the earth. And a couple of years ago, Blessed Earth launched the Seminary Stewardship Alliance, which now has more than 40 member schools. And he travels and teaches and speaks and has written a couple of wonderful books, including Serving God, Saving the Planet, that we're referencing today. We were talking a little bit about sort of a theological perspective on a care creation and some of the instructions. And Matthew, I guess maybe if there's more that we wanted to pick up on that, I'll let you just summarize a bit more.
Well, I would say that one of the things that, that everybody ought to do is plant a tree. The Abraham is the first person in Scripture who's noted to plant a tree. Most Bibles translate it as a tree, but it's really probably a grove of trees. And it's a great thing with a young person to plant that tree. And there's two things that you want to be bigger when that child comes back later, and that's a tree. You know, I don't know if you or your listeners might have had the opportunity to go back to a childhood home or something or school, and it all seems so much smaller. But not the trees that were planted. And the other thing that's supposed to grow like a tree is our faith, and we're told that in the first Psalm. So God uses that metaphor and analogy of the tree of the same thing that our faith should always be growing. And, of course, the centerpiece of heaven in front of God's throne is the tree of life. So we're in for a pretty green eternity from what the Bible says, if we believe in the Lord.
I like it. You know, your medical career was based on the principle, first do no harm. Talk about how we could apply that to caring for creation.
I think that principle, which goes all the way back to Hippocrates, is that we're always dealing with unknowns. And in many areas of our life, we're dealing with imperfect knowledge. The perfect knowledge we get to deal with is Scripture, but we don't always know perfectly how to apply it. And so that it calls for some moderation in what we're doing. I think one area that I would apply that today is technology. I see so many, it's springtime in Kentucky. It's absolutely beautiful, and I live on a park, and I can't tell you how many moms and dads bring their kids to the park, and their children are playing, and mom and dad are staring down at a screen, and they're missing this wonderful time of their children growing up. And so, you know, I think first do no harm even applies to, you know, be a little hesitant in adopting technology or letting it rule your life. We don't know what the long-term consequences of raising children, spending 6 hours a day in front of a screen, which is the average of what children spend now. And particularly if there's a new, you know, kind of food or something, you know, you might hesitate before you try something new. That would go along with the first do no harm. Have some prudence and temperance as you decide to adopt or not adopt new technologies and lifestyles.
One of the things that you and your family were able to do was significantly reduce your trash output. And you suggest in the book that, you know, all diets should start with a weigh-in. So what would it look like if we were to, you know, try to simplify our homes and lives and maybe the trash consumption?
The trash is a great measure of how much you're consuming, really. And, of course, we're able, as time goes by, to in many cities, to recycle more and more. It's also a measure of what you're buying and what you're consuming. If you can cut down not only on trash, but even the recycling. You know, a glass of water out of a tap is often as good for you as one that you bought or something, you know, in a bottle. So that suggestion to begin with the weigh-in, somebody might go ahead and say, well, how much money do I spend on gasoline a year, you know, commuting? And you can do several things to cut it back, you can drive the speed limit is always a novel thing to do instead of 10 or 15 miles an hour over. You can combine trips, keep a pad of paper in the kitchen and jot things down or jot it on your phone on the notepad or something so that you're not, you know, just running again and again to the store. So there's some habits that we can develop, but it's often good to know, well, how much is my electric bill? How much gasoline am I using? What is my heating bill? That sort of thing. So you have a target of how you can cut back. And the object is to free up money to give to the kingdom. It's not just to go buy more things. It's to put your time and your money to work in building God's kingdom.
You know, I know you have concerns about fossil fuel use. Just would be interested in your perspective because it seems like it would, cheap oil, cheap energy is really represents a way for most of the developing world to work their way up. So do we want to restrict it or do we want it to help others sort of raise their standard of living?
That's a great question. I don't know that it's a fair thing for me as an American who has access to endless supplies of energy to tell somebody in Bangladesh they're not allowed to have it. I think that as I understand Scripture, particularly using Matthew 7 as a benchmark, and Matthew 7 is where Jesus is talking about how we always want to get a speck of dust out of somebody else's eye. Meanwhile, we've got a 2x4 in our own. And Jesus says, "Fool, hypocrite, straighten up your own act first." And that literally would apply to somebody in the third world who uses, you know, a hundredth amount of energy that I do a year, me saying that they should improve. I think for most of us, we should look at ourselves first and say, how can I improve? One of the suggestions that people who've kind of followed this Serve God, Save the Planet book have done is they've taken the money they've freed up and they go to Compassion International and they support one of those kids in an area of the world where they don't have as many resources. So I don't think the thing is to say to somebody in a third world, you shouldn't have more resources. It's to say to ourselves, how can we live more simply and free up some of our either time or resources to help others?
Which I would think it kind of changes the attitude, doesn't it? It's not just a duty to recycle trash, but you do it with the joy, knowing that you're freeing up resources for ministry.
Absolutely. If you do this as yet another to-do thing on a list, that's not going to be much fun. If you realize that, God's in charge, it's beautiful to be alive, life is a gift, and just pray the Lord to use me to be a better servant, be a better steward, and show me creative ways that by living more simply, I'm able to help people. That has been the joy of it for me and my family and other folks who've gone this path that I've found over the last decade.
You mentioned before about, one of the challenges, your daughter trying to explain, to her classmates what you actually did. Did your kids and your wife sort of agree with your directions in changing lifestyle, some of those things? And what would you say to maybe family members whose a spouse or one of the family doesn't really care?
That's a great question. And certainly when I began doing some of this, my family was not necessarily thrilled. and I found that the best way to persuade somebody to join you is to do that activity that you're asking to join you with, do it joyfully yourself. That's at least what I found worked. Of course, the more important thing was that all my family came to believe in Christ. once we got on that same page, the other changes became much easier to make. But a family is not always going to, you know, progress in lockstep. But in becoming a Christian, I realized I was supposed to be the spiritual head of my home. So not only was I supposed to model this, I was supposed to say, well, this is where it comes from in Scripture, and this is why we're doing it. And that you have to ask the Lord for some patience and wisdom in how to best model that.
Talking to Matthew Sleeth, who is the executive director of Blessed Earth, founded back in 2008 as an educational nonprofit that inspires and equips Christians to become better stewards of the earth. He's written several books, including 24-6, A Prescription to a Healthier, Happier Life, and the one we're referencing today, Serving God, Saving the Planet, A Call to Care for Creation and Your Soul. We do have a couple of copies of this to give away, and love to have you join the conversation, too. If you have a comment or a reflection, you can connect with us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. I'm going to talk a little bit more with Matthew about things like Sabbath rest and maybe what could the church be doing in terms of creation care? What might that look like? We'll get some of his thoughts on that just ahead. You can join us again. Sign up for a copy of the book at 877-93-FAITH. Springtime is especially a good time to reflect on the beauty of the earth. If we, just as we've talked about, look up from our screens and enjoy it. Talking today to Matthew Sleeth. Matthew was living the American dream, as the world defines it anyway, as a medical chief of staff. And just really God got a hold of his life. He shares his family's journey to simplicity, stronger relationships, and richer spiritual lives. And relates a prescription for sustainable living. That's what we're finding in the book, Serving God, Saving the Planet, A Call to Care for Creation and Your Soul. Matthew and his wife founded Blessed Earth, and you can find out more about that, blessedearth.org. And a couple of years ago, they launched the Seminary Stewardship Alliance, which now has more than 40 member schools. And to say a little bit more about that, Matthew, what's the Seminary Stewardship Alliance?
Thank you for asking. As I went and talked and preached and taught about creation care from a biblical perspective, I found that pastors in particular didn't know what the Bible had to say about caring for creation. They would default to a political viewpoint or scientific or something, and I really felt it was important for them to have some biblical training in that. And spoke with some of the presidents of some of the seminaries in the U.S. We started with a group of 12 seminaries. We had Fuller and Asbury and Gordon Conwell and so forth. And they covenanted with us at the level of the presidents and boards to work on this issue. And we're actually up over 50 seminaries now. It has been a dream of mine that people go to the Bible and ask the Bible what to say before they, start talking about this. And so that it's been a very successful program and has many traditions, whether it's Methodist, we have Southern Baptist seminaries and that sort of thing, and the Reformed seminaries, etc. And the goal is, what does the Bible say about this, and how can someone graduate from our schools and know how to articulate a biblical worldview of stewardship?
So ideally, how could the church be engaged in creation care? Are there some elements that should be included? If you're talking to someone who is on a pastoral staff today who's listening in.
Sure. I will go what I think is right at the top and work your way down. In emergency medicine, we had what we call the ABCs. You start with airway, breathing, circulation, disability, then you go to exposure, you know, all this sort of thing. So I think starting right at the top is Sabbath. If you look in Genesis, as God is making all this wonderful creation, he's speaking it into existence. And at the end of those days, he's saying, it's good, it's good. And he makes you and me, he makes Adam and Eve, and he says, it's very good. And then on the seventh day, he says, he makes the Sabbath. And the Sabbath isn't good, and it's not very good. It's actually holy. The Sabbath is the one unique thing that the church has to offer to caring for creation. It's a day, for most of us, it's Sunday, where the Lord comes first. Fellowship comes first. And when I teach about the Sabbath, I have people share their memories of Sunday when they were growing up. And I can tell you what the top memories are. They remember going to church, and of course in church there's all those things that happen that don't happen anywhere else. We don't get together on Tuesdays and sing. In church we sing, we listen to scripture read and explained, we pray together. And then the number one memory outside of church that people have of Sunday is meals, meals with family. And many people then remember taking naps or being told to take a nap. They remember it's the day that their family didn't go shopping. And what I point out to people is what you're remembering is the Ten Commandments. The Lord comes first. It's not about idols. You're calling on the Lord's name in reverence, which is the exact opposite of taking in vain. You are honoring your parents by making the time to eat with them and fellowship with them at home and extended family. Next commandment is thou shalt not kill, which is physically impossible to do if you're taking a nap. So if you look at all those activities that happen on the Lord's Day, not only are they good for the planet, because we're not running around consuming, they are incredibly good for the church and good for our soul. And the Sabbath, unlike recycling and all these other things, which I believe in and I do, but the Sabbath can only be posited by the church. There's no government committee. There's no scientific committee that's going to come up with, let's take one day a week where we don't consume, where God comes first. And so, to me, the crown of creation care is the Lord's Day, is Sabbathing together.
Good word, and you've got a great book on that subject, 24-6, A Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. And I'm sure as you've, you know, experienced that and put that into practice, I mean, that you have, you know, one of the questions I was going to ask you, if there were some hidden benefits that you hadn't seen before, but it was probably goes back to Sabbath, right? Of all the things that, you know, you can be, you know, recycling more and, you know, all those things, but probably Sabbath was the thing that made the most difference for you and your family, wasn't it?
It is. And it's a thing that I am so worried that we have taken so much for granted in the church that we are about ready to lose it, really. You know, God, the Lord's sovereign, the Lord's going to win this, but when you take something for granted, it tends to go away, or you tend to lose it. And we have taken a day of rest for granted. Sunday is now the second biggest shopping day of the week. And I think it's time for people to really enter into that day with a joyful heart and really seek the Lord's face on that day.
Are there some, you know, we've got a couple minutes left. Are there maybe hindrances that keep us from being better stewards, of better caring for creation, things that sort of universally get in the way?
I think what universally gets in the way is always looking for convenience and comfort. My family went to the 64 World's Fair My mom came back and she was talking about all the things that were coming in the future, and sociologists said that we would have only 2 or 3 day work weeks, that so many inventions would save time and machines would wash dishes and cars and et cetera. Well, we've gotten all those things and we have less and less time for the Lord. So I think that this false hope that technology will save us and make our lives better, it just simply isn't panning out, and it's detracting from a relationship with our own children, spouses, and the Lord.
There's some that would say, you know, the world has enough resources, they're renewable, we just need to be in better distribution. You know, I'm sure you run into some people say, well, you know, God's going to make it all new anyway. How do you respond to some of those criticisms?
You know, to that, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is sovereign, but it was the devil that quoted that philosophy to Jesus, daring him to jump off the Temple Mount. And the Lord, Jesus responded, "Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God." And I think we've gotten almost in a situation of arrogance towards the Lord. And I don't know that the Lord is going to put up with that forever. And so I would say to people to really go back to what Scripture says. We're not to test the Lord. We're supposed to have a humble and contrite heart in front of God. And so much of our society and everything tells us to be proud, to just do it. You deserve it today. That's not scriptural.
Matthew, what will people find at your website, blessedearth.org?
They can find out about the various activities that we encourage, the Seminary Stewardship Alliance. They'll find things about the Sabbath, and they can find other stories of simplicity. I think the Sabbath stories of families learning how to do this in a world that just says go all the time are particularly inspiring to people, because there's young families and older folks and that sort of thing, and they just tell their own stories.
Matthew, it's good to connect with you again. Blessings on your ministry and your leadership and your encouragement in this area. You're talking with Matthew Sleeth, who is Executive Director of Blessed Earth. And you can find out more at blessedearth.org. Serving God, Saving the Planet is the book we're referencing, A Call to Care for Creation and for Your Soul. Good to talk with you, my friend. Have a wonderful spring in Kentucky.
And blessings to you and all your listeners.
You've been listening to Connecting Faith. I would just close with just a little bit of music, a familiar hymn from Gary Chapman.